Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, we are off Friday towards the weekend. Yeah, I never look ahead, and why would I? The weather the last couple of days has been spectacular. I gotta believe with a tee time scheduled tomorrow, the exact same thing is going to happen. A very happy Mother's Day weekend to you and yours. Love my mom. Everyone should love their mom. Take a moment out, give her a big kiss on the cheek. Take her out, get her a nice dinner, some dessert, maybe some flowers, whatever it is, whatever you need to do. But take time out for your mom, whether it's tonight, tomorrow, or Sunday. All right, let's get things rolling. We got a busy show. I'm just really amped up tonight. I had like an allergy issue or something. I feel like such a wuss talking about an allergy. That's just not my way. Blue's got the sniffles. It just sounds so sissy-like. But it really knocked me on my keister Wednesday and then yesterday. So the GS been feeding me these pills, and I feel amped. I don't know if it's a side effect. I don't know what she gave me. I just took it. But, the sensation just being out of line, out of whack is gone. But I feel like I got a little extra energy. I feel like I got a little extra adrenaline. So I'm ready to go over the next couple of hours. And I think it's going to be an outstanding weekend. I'm really going to pick your brain tonight, Jaguar fans. Now, some of you may already be getting after it. And, yeah, I'm jealous. I am. There's a part of me that never looks back, okay? But if I did, I can only imagine running and ripping on a Friday night, May 7th, 2021, with this type of weather, the restaurants and bars, and you know that club scene, RJ? You know they're clubbing already in Jacksonville.
On Mother's Day weekend?
Ah, yes, 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 yes. Mothers are out clubbing.
I don't know about all that.
Hey, 50% of marriages end in divorce. The other 49% of the people who are still married are unhappy. Of course, they're all clubbing.
On a Friday, though, on Mother's Day, I think you'd want to kick back.
Come on. You're too square. You're too ordinary.
I am.
What do you like, vanilla ice cream?
I'm a cookies and cream guy, so I guess.
All right. Well, we're going to be busy. Text line's going to be burning.
Absolutely.
Okay, because I got two questions tonight that I want Jag fans to answer. Number one. It's the biggest concern now after the draft that you have on this football team. I'd like to actually break it down to a position group. Now, let's leave away the tight end. Okay, that's the pink elephant in the room, if you will, and that would obviously be everyone's answer. So let's omit that with the understanding that the Jaguars are still going to do something at tight end. I still think they're going to make a trade. You know, where do they go to Philly? Where do they go to Atlanta? Does it involve Gardner Minshew? Teams are right now, looking at their cap, doing some things. We've had a couple of surprise cuts already this week. I think there's an opportunity for more as teams try to, figure out how they're going to be able to set the salary cap with that floor dropping. What was it, $15, $16 million this past year? So yeah, I still think there is an opportunity for some good football players to be had. And I expect the Jaguars to, hopefully allow the price to come down. What is the asking price for Zach Ertz? What is the asking price right now for Hayden Hurts? I don't know. I would think it would be a Saturday pick. Fourth round and on. And, every time we talk to someone about Zach Ertz, it's the standard question. Well, he's going to want a contract extension. Who doesn't want a contract extension? That's job security. But is he going to leave more than $8 million on the table? And if all of a sudden you find out that there's a trade between Jacksonville and Philadelphia, is Zach Ertz going to say, all right, forget about it, I'm done. I'm retiring. As opposed to collecting more than $8 million, coming here, playing under Urban Meyer, playing with Trevor Lawrence, and then an opportunity to turn that around into a show-me type of year where he can set himself up yet for another contract. So, you know, Sal Palantonio said it. Ian Rappaport, when I asked him, said it. It was almost like Rappaport made me feel like it was a stupid question. Well, yeah, I mean, you can talk about trading for him, but he's going to want a contract. Well, I mean, sure. But he's a tight end coming off an injury. He's 30. I mean, he doesn't hold all that power. You can say, come on in, play hard. We'll see how it works out. And then if you do what we expect you to do, you will be treated fairly with a brand new contract. So I know the perfect world would be, yeah, bring him in, sign him to a couple of years more. But Jacksonville doesn't have to do that. That's the point I'm making. So number one, what position group? You know, as I said earlier in the week when we went through it, I think they have strengthened themselves literally in every category. Okay, no one's going to argue with me right now. They're a much better team at quarterback. Obviously, they're a better team now at running back. Okay, when you get Travis Etienne, they also added Carlos Hyde. Wide receiver, did they make the big splash? No, they didn't. Marvin Jones Jr. in camp, or excuse me, in free agency at the age of 31, could end up being the leading receiver. All right. And certainly you have other guys that are very talented with Chark and LaVisca Chenault, and hopefully, you know, a guy that can really spin it and Lawrence can utilize the 6'6" frame of Colin Johnson. Then, you know, we'll see who else. You got guys like Dorsett, young guys like Godwin, young guys like Hammond, a young guy like Jalen Camp, who was just selected late in this year's draft out of Georgia Tech. Is it a better wide receiver group than a year ago? I'm going to say yes. I mean, D.D. Westbrook was gone before we knew it. Chris Conley was atrocious last year. Boy, what a terrible season for Chris Conley. He was productive in 2019. Last year was just a laugher. He couldn't hold on to the football. Just not a good year. And, you know, Keelan Cole was a solid what? Honestly, what is Keelan Cole? A solid number four wide receiver. You may argue with me on that, and that's fine. That's why I'm throwing out the topic. Obviously, tight end doesn't apply. That would be the one that everyone would select. So the question is, what is the biggest concern that you have with the Jaguars now, position group-wise? Or it could be something else. If that's the case, best way to get a hold of me, 641-1010. I think they're better on the offensive line. I think they're better on the defensive line. I do. I believe that. I have a feeling some may disagree and pick that as the position group. You know, have they done enough to fortify the defensive line? Obviously, they're better at linebacker. You got to believe that, right? And that includes Dylan Moses. Some commentary on him today coming from Nick Saban. You got to love how Saban, you know, nothing's ever Saban's fault. I just love people like that in general. I mean, come on, you know one. I know one. Maybe you want to label your ex-wife in that position, or maybe your ex-husband in that position. But, you know, the one individual, regardless of the set of circumstances, they are never freaking wrong. Never. That's Nick Saban. I mean, Nick Saban's like, well, the Miami Dolphins flunked Drew Brees. You know, they said he had a bad shoulder. He was this, he was that. Then he turns around and brings in Dante Culpepper, who was coming off an injury. Here's Nick Saban, who controls everything. I mean, what color paint is on the building? We're going to serve Diet Pepsi, not Diet Coke. He controls it all. And then what? A decade and a half later, he spins it and says, well, Dylan Moses is going to be a great player. Let's hope he's right, because, of course, he's an undrafted free agent here now in Jacksonville. But he goes, well, I remember back in Miami, the Dolphins told me no. Their trainers, their doctors, they said, no, you can't, we can't okay it. We can't bring in Drew. Whatever. So, we'll see. He had surgery on February 9th. He started all 13 games this year for the Crimson Tide, led the team in tackles. What a find this would be. You know, if he's an inside linebacker, he's big. And 230, 240. Well, let's see right here. Listed at 6'3", 240. You know, what a find that could end up being at linebacker. Damian Wilson as well. I think they're better there. They're obviously better at safety, right? I mean, you've got to be. You added Andre Sisco in the draft. You added Rayshon Jenkins in the draft. They got to be better corner, right? They added Tyson Campbell to that mix. They brought back Sidney Jones, who got off to a good start last year before the injuries once again reappeared for him. Henderson is a enormous wild card. I was really bothered today to read Todd McShay's 2022 mock draft for a couple of reasons. Number one, he had the Jaguars selecting third overall. Yeah, that was almost enough to like try to ruin my weekend. And I said, what does anyone know about right now? I mean, what, 4 years ago or 5 years ago at this time, Robert Kimdichie was like the number one player on mock draft boards. And, you know, Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray, they weren't anywhere to be found. Look at 2 years ago at this time. Marvin Wilson, if he came out a year ago, was like, you know, a mid to late first round pick. He went undrafted out of Florida State. Now, it's his own fault. He, you know, literally patronized the entire program. And, you know, in this non-forgivable league, if you're a player who's got an enormous mouth and you don't back it up on the field, you're going to go undrafted and you're going to be considered a cancer in the clubhouse when you call out your coach, even though he did the correct thing. And I supported him at the time. He probably shouldn't have let it linger the way that he did. And it also would have helped if he showed up. He had no bend, and he was really soft this past year when it came to defending the run at FSU. There's a guy who went from first-round money in 2020 to not even getting selected in 2021. So anyway, back to McShay. He has Derek Stingley Jr. going third to the Jags as a corner. And I'm sitting here saying, Todd, what's up? You got C.J. Henderson in the first round, Tyson Campbell, who they selected first pick in the second round, and you just gave $42 million to Shaq Griffin. You think they're going back to the well again at corner with the third pick? You win three games. What does that? I mean, third pick, what does that mean? How many games are you going to win? Three? Four? So that was like a double blast today, and I'll just leave it at that. Again, it's ridiculously early. It means nothing at this particular point, as we do know. So my point, I think they're better in every category than they were before Urban Meyer got here. Now, you could say what you want about this team, and your expectations may lay wherever you want them to, but they are a better football team in every single position group than the 1-15 record they put up a year ago, outside of tight end, of course. So let's throw that one out there. 641-1010 on the text line. You can also get me on Twitter. That is Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010XL. All right, when I come back, I want to look at these Trevor Lawrence props. Man, are they massive. And I think they're reachable. But I have an interesting way of looking at it, particularly the 4,250 passing yards for the season. That's too high for me. And I want the under. And the reason why I want the under is I want the team to be able to run the ball, okay? A balanced attack and running the football is going to lead to winning games. I mean, every year Matt Stafford throws for 5,000 yards. Every year, you know, Matt Ryan throws for 5,000 yards. So those numbers, even during the Minshew era, we saw garbage yards. We saw second half yards. They can fool you. 4,250 yards, it's an average of 250 a game because of the additional 17th game. But man, I want the under there because I want this team to be able to run the football, let's say, 400 times or more. Remember, 2017, when they made the AFC Championship game, 527 pass attempts, 527 rushing attempts. So me saying 400 may be real low. You may try for 500. And that would be something. I know that for stat geeks out there and fantasy people, I don't play fantasy. I don't know. I guess you need the yards or whatever. But I think they can be looked at almost in a negative way, depending on how things are going. Anyway, we'll come back. We'll do that. Brent Musburger is now with Vison, and he loves the world of handicapping and projecting. So we're going to do that with Brent Musburger. That's coming up in 15 minutes. And at 7 o'clock, Omar Ruiz will join us from the NFL Network. Had a real nice piece the other day on the Jaguars in their draft, if you had an opportunity to see it on the NFL Network. So we are packed tonight. It's great to have you with us. A Friday edition alongside RJ Saunders. I am the truth teller, Rick Ballew. Let's go.
Into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I can see those fighter planes. I can see those fighter planes across the mud huts where the children sleep, through the alleys on a quiet city street. You take the staircase to the first floor, turn the key, slowly unlock the door. A man breathes into a saxophone and through the city. You can hear the walls groan. We should just go to Glenn's Liquors right now, the reinvented, rejuvenated Glenn's Liquors.
And just rock out.
Brent Musburger in 10 minutes. 4,250 yards passing for Trevor Lawrence. No, 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 no. Too much, too much, too much. If he's throwing for 4,250, I think they're losing games, and he's passing, and that's all Jacksonville's doing in the second half. I want to run the ball. First and 10 from the 25 that gives to Robinson. He's got four. Second and 6. Lawrence got Robinson behind. A little counter to LaVisca. Chenault misses, makes a man miss, makes two miss. First down, Jacksonville. You know what's happening right now?
Moving the chains.
Clock's running. Tick, 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 tick. Lawrence now in the pistol. Robinson behind him. He's got ETN flanked to the right. He's got ETN over the linebacker zone. ETN's got 15. He's got 20. Tick, tick, tick. That's what you want. 4,250 yards for a rookie? That's Las Vegas right now? That's the prop? Mm-mm. No. I'm going to resoundingly right now, I'm going to say no. Play the under. You have an opinion on it. I'm saying play the under.
I want to play the under, too. I don't want anybody to – I don't want James Robinson to regress. I know we handed him the ball a lot, but I think that he could have a great sophomore year. I want to see what ETN does out of the backfield. Really, if they're saying he has to get that many yards, they really just don't believe in the receiving core of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Well, they do believe in the receiving core if he's saying he's going to throw for 4,000, but don't believe in the run game. That's something he needs to – no. I want the perfect balance.
That's exactly my point. Absolutely. I mean, Justin Herbert last year in 16 – let me see. How many games did Herbert played 15 games. As a rookie, and he threw 4,336 yards. That's an average of 289.1 a game. All right, there's 79. You know, I'm trying to look at quarterbacks who threw for a ton of yards and how many of them were successful. Well, immediately... this lesson has been blown out of the water because after Deshaun Watson, we know Houston struggled. Watson threw for 4,823 yards. The next two guys are named Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. They threw for 4,740 and 4,633. Now, I think we all know, is even though the offense drastically changed between New England and Tampa Bay, where Tom Brady has always used his running backs – hopefully the way that Darrell Bevell is going to use Travis Etienne this year. I mean, whether it's been James White or J.R. Redman or Kevin Falk or Danny Woodhead or Lawrence Maroney, I mean, you can go on forever and mention all the different backs that he has had. They certainly caught a lot of footballs out of the backfield. Now, that was almost like their way of running the ball. I mean, who's the last 1,000-yard rusher in New England? Do we have to go back to, like, Antoine Smith? Do we have to go to, like, the 1 year they brought in Corey Dillon? Sony Michel, I think, has had a couple of years where he has been, like, north of 850 yards or north of 900 yards. But anyway, okay, after that, Matt Ryan, what did Atlanta do last year? Let's check. Let's see. Atlanta was 4-12. Matt Ryan was fourth in yardage, 4,500. Josh Allen had a great year. Can't argue with you there. Buffalo's actually pretty scary. So it was LeGarrette Blount. What year did he go north of 1,000?
2016.
Okay.
1161.
There you have it. The big man. I'm going to play the under. I don't play, but if I did, and that's my recommendation to you, play under 4250. With the emphasis being that this football team is going to run the ball. 27 touchdown passes in 17 games. Now, when I saw 27, my immediate reaction was, whoa, wait a minute here. That's a big number. And, you know, I look at last year, there were 11 quarterbacks who threw 27 touchdowns or more. Now, granted, one less game during the 2020 year. Matt Ryan threw 26. Derek Carr threw 27. Justin Herbert is a rookie last year, threw 31. You can go all the way up to the 48 that Aaron Rodgers threw, and Brady and Russell Wilson respectively threw 40. This one I'd leave alone. You know, since it's May, why would you leave something alone in May? But come on, crying a lot, it's Friday. Have a little bit of fun here. Give me the over. Give me the over 27 touchdown passes by Trevor Lawrence. It's an average of 1.58 a game. Can Trevor Lawrence get you more than 1.6 touchdowns per game? That's the average to be higher than 27 touchdown passes. I like it. The Jaguars have been pitiful in red zone offense. I mean, just atrocious. I remember 2 years ago, they had 3 rushing touchdowns for the year. As great as Josh Lambeau is, if you really want to take that next step, you got to move to 3-7. They've got to become a more dynamic offense. You know, earlier when I was looking at position groups, I mentioned Colin Johnson and his 6'6" frame. There you go. Isn't that a red zone target? So I have to believe they're going to score more. And I'm not thrilled about this number. I honestly think it's a little bit high. I think 25 is the number. But right now, I'm going to tell you to play the over there. So let's go under the 4250 for yards for Trevor Lawrence. These are all courtesy of betonline.com. Let's go over the 27 touchdown passes for Trevor Lawrence. 12.5 picks. I'm going to play the over here. And let me tell you why, all right? I want a little riverboat gambler in Trevor. I don't want, if DBs are doing nice jobs in this offensive line, for one reason or another, doesn't take the step that I think a lot of us out there believe they can take. I don't want this to become a dump-down team where everything is a dump-down pass to Travis Etienne. I want to see him take some chances. Now, I don't want him to take Jameis Winston rookie chances or Lord Favre chances where, you know, he's throwing consistently in the double coverage and stuff like that, but he's a rookie. And rookie quarterbacks are going to turn the football over. He's going to make some mistakes. I honestly believe it's all part of the getting better, performance. I believe that. Justin Herbert last year threw 10 interceptions. Wentz and Locke led the league with 15. Cousins had 13. Wilson, 13. Brady had a dozen. Rivers had 11. Bridgewater had 11. 12.5 is a big number. I'm going to say over. I'm going to say 13 interception. And I'm not slighting. You got to understand this. I'm not slighting him at all. I want to see him take some chances. And you as a Jaguar fan, you have lived through an offense that has had mime-type capabilities. Regardless of the named offensive coordinator, regardless of the named quarterback, the game plan offensively in Jacksonville the last several years has been absolutely hideous and beyond predictable. So if they're going to expand things and take some shots, the probability of turning the ball over is going to take place. I know I'm not going to make any friends with this, but it's my honest opinion on it. I think there will be some turnovers for Trevor. And I know he didn't turn the ball over in college. I know that. Just my prediction. Finally, 4 rushing touchdowns. I'm going to say below. Take the under. Honestly, I spent all last year talking about design running plays for Gardner Minshew. And they never did it. I mean, Gardner had the ability in 2019 to pick up first downs. And he did it oftentimes by leaving the pocket way too early, which I have to believe upset his offensive linemen. But he showed his capability. He showed creativity and was able to pick up first downs. Last year, there were no design runs. There weren't any design runs last year as well. I don't want design runs for Trevor Lawrence. You know, maybe if the Jags are at the 1 and he takes it in for a touchdown, okay, but this team's got weapons, and I want Trevor Lawrence running the ball only when wide receivers are covered and he has to leave the pocket. I just don't want him taking the blows. I don't want him taking the hits. So I'm going to say 4 rushing touchdowns. That's what the prop is right now in Vegas. Play that under. All right, so my picks are in. 4,250 yards for Trevor Lawrence. Play the under. 27 touchdown passes for Trevor Lawrence. Play the over. 12.5 interceptions for Trevor Lawrence. Play the over. 4 rushing touchdowns for Trevor Lawrence. Play the under. Brent Musburger of Vison. He is coming up. Actually, it's Vison, excuse me. It's spelled Vison, but I think it's Vison. Yeah, Vison. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to write it like this, RJ. V-E-E-S-N. What's the possibility of me getting it wrong when I have him on? Percentage-wise. Come on, drop it on me.
Say 0.
All right, Brent Musburger's next. I'm Rick Ballew.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, with you tonight till 8. Very busy evening. Those props are out. I just gave them to you on Trevor Lawrence. Very interesting. High. I mean, everything across the board. And again, I gave you my recommendation on all 4. We'll get back to that momentarily. Brent Musburger knows a thing or two about that. He, of course, is a broadcast legend. He is with VEASAN and still does the radio play-by-play voice for the Raiders. Brent Musburger with Rick Ballew. Brent, always a pleasure, sir.
Into the night with Rick. How about that? How you doing down in Jacksonville? You know, the sun is still out here. Western Montana, lit. It's still into the daytime with Brent out here. And, yeah, what's the passing yardage number that you've got on Trevor Lawrence in his rookie season? Have they put one out yet?
They have, Brent. It's 4,250 yards.
Oh. big number. Hope he goes. Okay.
Yeah.
Big number, lad. Listen, I've got one. I've got something for you, though, because I know you guys are the voice of the Jaguars. Urban Meyer is a dear friend, former colleague, actually worked a couple games with him, covered him obviously with the Gators up in Gainesville and then with the Buckeyes Columbus, Ohio. But I want you to listen to this stat on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Has nothing to do with Lawrence, and it has nothing to do with Urban Meyer, but it has everything to do with optimism. And if they legalize the sports, and I'm assuming they will in time for the football season in Florida, let's bet the Jaguars over because, listen to this, I had VSiN research this for me. Since 2009, okay, all but two of the 21 NFL teams that had a negative turnover differential and were outscored by more than 10 points a game, Jaguars qualify, they improved their one-loss records the next season by an average of 25% or four wins. Four of those teams made the playoffs. 12 improved by four or more. The only team affected from last season, the Jacksonville Jaguars. So there's the latest on the Jags from VSiN, lad, as we go into the night with Rick Ballew.
Great stuff there from Brent Musburger. Yeah, I mean, listen, they scored 19.1 points a game last year, 30th in the NFL. Yeah. So that is going to improve. But, you know, my point at looking at Trevor Lawrence and 4,250 passing yards, Brent, I believe Urban Meyer wants to run the football. So I think this falls absolutely under.
I would agree. I would agree. In fact, I've heard some of our other experts say the same thing today. As soon as that number came out, that Urban does like to run the football. He's like my guy with the Raiders at John Gruden. He's old school, and there's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, you've got to look at the scores as to whether or not you're just going to have him throw from the beginning to the end, and you've got to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
As my guys, I think my guys said that the only guy who exceeded that first season total was some total was Andrew Luck. You know, I could be wrong about that, but that's what they said earlier today. Obviously, listen. And we also know the other thing about Trevor. Oh, by the way, the Jaguar fans are going to love, and they know already from watching Clemson in their big games. You get down there, you know, inside the 10-yard line, and daylight opens up a little bit. He'll slip into the end zone himself. You know, he can run a little bit. He can get you 6-7 yards that you need. So I would think he would run, you know, as opposed to Derek Carr, our guy with the Raiders, doesn't like to run, doesn't like to take off. So we're not going to get a big total out of him of rushing yardage. So, hey, it's exciting time for the Jaguars, and I'm happy for the ownership down there, and especially the fan base. You know, we'll see how the Jaguars make out. They, you know, that division, they could jump a little bit because certainly Houston, there's so many unknowns about Deshaun Watson and the team in general, and you got to play them a couple of times. Tennessee may slide a little bit after this nice 2-year run with the Ryan Tannehill. And then you really don't know what you're going to get with Carson Wentz up at Indianapolis. He was a little skittish, as everybody knows, with the Philadelphia Eagles last year. So Urban and the Jaguars could find themselves in a decent position in that division.
You mentioned a moment earlier, as we're talking with Brent Musburger, your relationship with Urban Meyer. Obviously, you did games that he was a part of at Florida and Ohio State. You also went on to work with him. What really stood out about Urban as far as his work ethic, his game plan, etc.?
Well, you know, all great coaches, and Urban's a great coach. Now, we don't know how it's going to transcribe over to the NFL level, obviously, so we're waiting on that. But they have a tremendous work ethic, and Urban has always had that. I think what people fail to realize, some of them don't even know, actually. You know, he was a minor league baseball player at one time. I mean, he's been around the block when it comes to athletics. I mean, he knows what being a professional. That's why I think he translates well. And obviously, I hope his health stays solid. It's always been a little bit of a question mark with Urban going forward. But he understands things. He has a good feel for the game as it unfolds, and that begins to separate him a little bit. Okay, there's a lot of coaches that prepare to get into the game, and they get a little bit lost. I mean, it moves really quickly, and you've got to make a lot of decisions during the course of an NFL game. And I always thought, covering as many of Urban's games as I did, first of all, he was a delight for the media to be around. I mean, I always enjoyed covering the games that he was coaching, whether it was Gainesville, Columbus, or whatever. And just the feel that he has, you know, it was interesting. The day I said to my wife, we were watching television, and I said Urban Meyer's going to be the coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. That Clemson was playing in the championship playoff,
right?
In the first game, and they took a shot of the end zone late in the game, and Urban Meyer was sitting there all alone. Now the rumor was out that Mr. Kahn was going to hire him anyway. Taking a look at him, and I said, Arlene, he's going to take the Jaguar job because he wasn't there as a broadcaster. They had no involvement in the game, but he was in the end zone looking down on the field. Obviously, Lawrence was got a good look at his running back that day. So I knew that I knew that he was there, you know, not just as a fan watching a game alone. There was a reason why he was scouting Trevor Lawrence and the Clemson team.
Yep, and those are his first two picks. And, you know, hopefully for Jaguar fans listening, totally turn around that offense during the 2021 season. All right, Brent, as we say goodbye, I'm the Jags sideline reporter, so I was in the black hole, you know, for the last game ever when Gardner Minshew led that comeback there. And, of course, that was it last year number one in Las Vegas. How did that go? How did you like Vegas, the new building? I know there were no fans, so that took a little bit out of it. But how was year one?
Well, I have to tell you, first of all, I live in Las Vegas. Even when I was covering the Raiders, I was commuting in and out. And the stadium is spectacular, okay? It's going to be a great venue for a future Super Bowl. I will tell you what the strangest thing was. Lincoln Kennedy, my analyst, and I did all the games, road and home. So on the road, we had the monitors. We had great feeds from CBS and NBC and Fox coming back. So we had no problem with the road game. The strangest thing, though, that I've ever done was an empty stadium of a home game where the players were right down there in front of me and there were no fans. That really took some work for me to get used to. And I could actually hear, if you took a heads up, you could hear John Gruden screaming at the officials down on the sideline. And so I've never, ever done an athletic event where you're supposed to have 65,000. But it's going to be a tremendous stadium going forward. Allegiant is a wonderful, wonderful venue.
Brent, always a pleasure. I love your work with VSiN. And obviously, whatever it is that you do, it's always been an A+, including your work now with the Raiders. You got to leave us, though, with you're looking live, Trevor Lawrence, the Jaguars. You got to give us one of your best here on this Friday.
You are looking live at Trevor Lawrence of the Jacksonville Jaguars. They are three wins away from going to the NFL playoffs.
Outstanding, Brent.
You know,
yes.
Who's the controller? Who do I send that bill to? Take care. Go into the night, lad. Have a good one. Adios.
There he goes, Brent Musburger. How about that? Voice of the Raiders. With VSiN now, really one of the first to kind of go to the other side. A lot of people considered it the dark side. Right. I mean, before you know it, stadiums are going to have live embedding. Yeah, you going up to get a beer? Yeah, get me a beer, get me a hot dog, and give me the Jaguars -3 for the second half. I mean, that is where we're headed. It is a part of sports, whether you want to believe it or not, and it makes so much money. Yeah, I love the game, as I say all the time. I do not bet. I haven't bet in almost a decade. I don't have even the slightest itch, but I love to follow that. Man, that particular story that Brent Musburger gave us on teams that were, what, -10 in scoring, and the Jaguars were, I have it right here, the Jaguars averaged 19.1 a game last year, and they gave up 30.8 a game last year. So, obviously, that took place. And then the turnover ratio, they were on the negative side of that, but he said all of about, what, two teams since 2009 That's the other side of this. Okay? The analytics have really come into play in gaming. You know, there are people who just go on a hunch. You know, the old rule in gambling on a game is obviously home and away, day or night, weather, you know, rain, snow, wind, consecutive games on the road, indoors, outdoors. But now the numbers, and honestly, I think a lot of it can really just confuse you, where, you know, it used to be about injuries. And it used to be, you know, coming off a bye and, you know, you've had two straight at home. Now you go on the road. Well, wait a minute. This is your third straight road game. You know, you just played three straight. Now you're coming back home for a game. You know, this is a divisional opponent. This is you're taking on a team from the West Coast that makes that long trip from Vegas or Oakland or San Francisco or Arizona all the way out here, or vice versa. Like, the Jaguars this year are going to Seattle. The Jaguars this year are going to LA. I got to believe the Jaguars this year are going to London. Travel is a factor. But, I mean, some of the numbers that go into it now, it's almost too much information. But people live by it, you know? I can't remember who said it. It was years ago, but it really boiled my blood. It was something along the lines of, fantasy football is all skill, gambling is luck. And I was like, just shut up. You have no idea what you are talking about. If you are successful at picking games and you are successful at making the right props, it's a heck of a lot more than luck. You absolutely have to be informed. And you have to do your homework. Just my opinion on it. Thank you to Brent Musburger. Good stuff there. All right, 7 o'clock coming up. More. Boy, the text line is burning up. I've asked you today for your biggest concern, position group-wise now, on the Jaguars outside of tight end. Okay, and getting a lot on it. 5046 says, Blue, your offensive strategy is antiquated. It's not the 1960s. I disagree. I think Urban Meyer wants to run the football. I know that bores a lot of people nowadays. I think he wants to balance the attack. For what it's worth, Brent Musburger thinks it falls under the 42-50. It doesn't mean we're right. We could be dead wrong. I mean, but I just think this team is going to run the ball. So anyway, thoughts on the props is good. Thoughts on the biggest concern outside of tight end for the Jags is good. 641-1010 on the text line. You can also get me on Twitter, Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010XL. Omar Ruiz, a friend of the program. He is with the NFL Network. Did a nice little piece on the Jags this week alongside Judy Batista. He goes into the night next with Rick Ballou.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, we're rolling tonight till 8. Thank you to Brent Musburger. Good stuff there from the broadcast legend. Also, the question that we have out there, what position group now? Outside of tight end. Yeah, that's too obvious. What position group are you concerned about most now with the Jags? I think they're stronger at every position group. And that's hard to say. Then again, they did go 1-15, but after free agency and the draft, at least in my opinion, on paper, it looks that way. Omar Ruiz does a phenomenal job with the NFL Network. Really had a great conversation the other day as well with Judy Batista, who wrote a lengthy piece on Urban Meyer and the Jaguars. And he goes into the night with Rick Ballou. Always appreciate a few moments of your time. Omar, how you been?
Hey, Rick. Yeah, it's been good. I was in your guys' state of Florida last week covering the Dolphins in their draft just down the road from you, and just had to say, you know, what a marvel that the NFL pulled off having the draft, a big prestigious event. A lot of fans were able to attend in Cleveland. Turned out Turnout was great. I know we had several people all over the country at different facilities and covering the draft, you know, kind of like we've always done. And of course, we still followed precautions and did things as safely as possible. But I thought, you know, the NFL pulled off what a lot of people thought, you know, maybe wasn't possible. And certainly right there in Jacksonville, you guys saw it up close and personal how well it went with Trevor Lawrence and the rest of the class arriving there, improving that team, like you said, in every facet.
Yep. It was a great night at the stadium, at the bank, and obviously Trevor went one. That was no surprise. When number 25 came up, though, and it was Travis Etienne, I mean, there are those who say, regardless of the talent, you never draft a running back in the first round. Urban Meyer obviously didn't feel that way.
Well, and you guys saw what an impact a running back can have right away. I mean, Leonard Fournette there in the top five a few years ago, and I remember speaking with David Campbell, you know, several years ago about, you know, how important, you know, a running back is, and whether you take him in the first round or as an undrafted free agent. You got to have a running back who can tote the ball, and whether you find the value in the draft or not, or whatever you have, you need that aspect of your game. And obviously, Travis Etienne, by many people's accounts, was not only a first-round talent, but was an impact player that a lot of people consider to be the best running back in the draft.
Yeah.
And so to pair him up with Trevor Lawrence and have that familiarity, I heard Drew Bledsoe, just before you brought me on, just talk about the patience that you'll need with Trevor Lawrence. And obviously expectations are going to be high, and patience will be important. But to have somebody behind him back there who's been in the huddle with him and kind of help things progress along, I think it was a perfect match. And I'm not of the belief, Rick, that you can't draft a running back in the first round. If that's what your team needs, you have a special player like Etienne who's available right there. For what you want to do and what Urban Meyer wants to establish, I thought it was a good pick.
Well, you know, we talked about this, I don't know if it was 6 weeks ago, whenever it was, and when I had you on, but Urban Meyer's transparency has been just off the chart, and there's no secret. He wants speed. He is one with speed in college, and he wants to win with speed now here in Jacksonville, and that's exactly what he added with ETN.
Yeah, especially when you hear the comparisons to Percy Harvin. And I remember I was working in Ohio and in Columbus covering that Ohio State team that just got whacked by Florida in the national championship game some years ago when Percy Harvin was a freshman. Just saw him up close and personal, covered him a little bit on the Seahawks team that won the Super Bowl, and just what a dynamic playmaker that can be to your football team. And if Urban Meyer has that sort of vision for Etienne, then that's a home run. And you take that first-round pick all day long. And Etienne, he proved in college that he's a special player and has a nose for the end zone. He finds ways to score from any position on the field. And the number of big runs, you know, the 15 plus yard runs that he had in college, I think was far superior to any player in this draft. So he's proven he can do it. I think he'll do it in the NFL. And the only thing I thought was it was interesting where, the Jags say they might use him, you know, as a third down back. But I think, you know, a player like Etienne, you find as many ways to use him on the field and on all down.
Yeah, I mean, James Robinson was very productive as an undrafted rookie. I mean, 1,400-plus yards from the line of scrimmage. But the difference there is Robinson's a 4.64 guy. Etienne's a 4.4 guy. And Urban Meyer loves speed. So, I mean, they could be battling for the football. And I think you'd agree, Omar, that most good teams have two backs.
Yeah, and I think what you might find with Etienne as it all unfolds is he just becomes what many teams have utilized over the, you know, recent time in the NFL is a weapon. He's just weapon and sort of almost positionless. If they can find a way to use him in that regard and have perhaps Robinson and Etienne on the field at the same time, you try to utilize different formations and press the defense that way, then even better. Get the ball in his hands and let him go.
Omar Ruiz, our guest, he's with the NFL Network, goes into the night with Rick Ballew. Again, Omar, you were in Miami for the draft. Your colleague Judy Batista was here in Jacksonville, and I really enjoyed your sit down with her the other day. Very lengthy piece she has that's available that you can read at NFL.com. What was the one thing that stuck out to you that Judy reported on?
I thought was interesting was, as accomplished as Urban Meyer is, and let's face it, you know, he's a college football legend, that he has come into this with, and this is a reason probably for his success in college, with, you know, somewhat humility, modesty, you know, doesn't know everything and has really gone on a fact-finding mission on, for every little detail, what it takes to succeed for players in the NFL. And the sports performance really stood out to Judy. But I just think the thoroughness that Urban Meyer has kind of gone about his, you know, daily duties since taking over the job, you know, leading up to this draft. And now as he gets ready to, you know, have, you know, rookies in and then the team with mini camp and training camp, he has kind of turned over every rock to find whatever advantage he can as an NFL head coach. Mm-hmm. I think has been really impressive. I mean, I think you look at situations where college coaches, even legends, haven't worked out in the NFL. And I think a lot of it, you know, those big time coaches try to carry in that, you know, sort of my way or the highway mentality that a lot of the college programs have. And I don't think Urban Meyer's done that. I think he's kind of taken a more measured approach and hoping it leads to a lot of success there.
Yeah, the one thing that really blew me away is, you know, obviously because of COVID, we haven't been in the building except for away games, trying to do the sideline reporting from inside the stadium, even though the team's on the road. It's a little crazy. But just, you know, strength and conditioning I've always understood, but, you know, his long-winded way of thinking about nutrition and recovery, I mean, whether it's acupuncture, whether it's, you know, needling or whatever it is, I was really blown away by that because I've always kind of been under the assumption that there's a way, but not numerous ways. I remember years ago, Omar, I used to do a show with Mercedes Lewis, and he would say every Monday I would completely flush out my body, and then I would mm-hmm. do something on Tuesday and change it. So everyone has a different pattern, but that was really expressed in this, how Urban's going to look at the individual player and say, all right, what is best for you as far as the recovery period?
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, too, and how he said, you know, you don't have an offensive lineman coaching, you know, members of the secondary, and you shouldn't have, you know, the same strength coach for the different positions. And recovery is a huge part of that. And look, Rick, I'm 42 years old. I still try to play competitive sports and, you know, be this, you know, Joe athlete in the local rec leagues as much as possible. So I've studied a lot of Tom Brady and what he's doing to kind of sustain at that level. And all he talks about is recovery. So, you know, everybody can work out. Right. It's the thing to recover and to enhance your performance. And obviously Urban's found that to be key as well. So the fact that he has such a huge staff, a lot of it focused on sports performance, you know, might, you know, we heard a lot of this with Chip Kelly know, when he came into the league, and a lot of sports science was involved and everything. But I think that, you know, what Urban Meyer is doing is a little bit different. It's not just, you know, measuring how fast people are and trying to practice on different days. It is about recovery and maximizing the, you know, physical performance. And I think that can go a long way.
Well, I'm glad you're still working out. You got me beat. I pop a couple Advil and drink a Miller Lite and try to swing the golf club. That's all I do.
I got three little kids to try to keep up with. So I try to, you know, I hate beating myself up in the gym. So I like to play sports.
Okay.
And you know, try to stay in shape that way. My big hobby out here is beach volleyball. And so, you know, kind of playing in the sand, staying in shape is a whole heck of a lot better than killing yourself for a couple hours in the gym.
Yep, no doubt about it. Hey, leave us with Aaron Rodgers, if you would. What do you believe is going to happen there?
I think he'll stay. I think this is, you know, a power play on his part. I think, you know, obviously he's still upset that they drafted a first-round pick at quarterback last year. That was a sort of play on the front office's part. And, you know, he's using the MVP and the fact that he's still, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the world, you know, to try to leverage as much as possible a new contract so that way he can walk away when he feels like he is good and ready. I think he feels he's earned, you know, that respect that, you know, when it's time for him to retire and move on, he should allow to have that say, and he's trying to work it as best as possible. But I think we had James Jones on our air yesterday, who's one of our analysts and a close friend of Rodgers. And, you know, I think same with A.J. Hawk, who was also one of our guests. Those guys are friends with Rodgers, and they kept saying how fixable this situation was. And I don't think they go on the air with Aaron Rodgers' blessing without Rodgers believing that this is a fixable situation. So I think they'll come to an agreement at some point. They'll at least focus on 2021, not jeopardize. You know, they've already built two straight NFC Championship game appearances. They're really, really close, Rick. I don't think Aaron Rodgers lets that opportunity pass them by, and I think they somehow, some way, figure it out for 2021.
Omar Ruiz with the NFL Network. Have an outstanding weekend, Omar. I know we'll catch up again down the road.
All right, sounds good, Rick. Really appreciate your time, man. Thank you.
There he goes, Omar Ruiz, NFL Network. Good stuff there. Yeah, that story really took a turn yesterday. And, you know, Adam Schefter released that the day of the draft. And I know around here the Tebow release came out, or the Tebow leak came out as well. And that, you know, that unfortunately dominated that day. I was down on that. I thought that should have been all about Trevor Lawrence. Any other day that the Tebow story came out, I would have been fine with, but I didn't like the planted story 4 hours before the draft. Around the league, Aaron Rodgers, same thing happened. And, you know, there's been some change a little bit in apparently what Schefter did, that nothing was actually given to him on that particular day, that, you know, Schefter made it about himself and released this, according to Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk, because, you know, Bradshaw since has come out and blasted him. Lord Favre has come out and said that he doesn't think he's going to return. Now, yesterday, I mean, again, I live on the NFL Network. I caught up with that interview with the two guests, Hawk and Jones, that he had on, and they believe he is going to return, that it is fixable. You know, that whole stuff about Aaron Rodgers referring to the general manager as Jerry Krause. For the record, Jerry Krause drafted Michael Jordan. Jerry Krause drafted Scottie Pippen. And those are the only two mainstays. He filled in all the power forwards with Bison Daly and Dennis Rodman, Horace Grant, all those shooting guards, Steve Kerr, B.J. Armstrong. He went out and got all those guys. So you can't compare. Just an awful analogy made by Aaron Rodgers.
I think where he was trying to go was he was trying to say that the GM is trying to say, hey, I'm the reason why we're winning. Not, you know, Aaron going out on the field and doing all these amazing things. Yeah, he's able to do that, but I was the brain trust behind that. And I think that's where he was trying to go, because everybody watching The Last Dance, they tried to make Jerry Krause seem to be like he was that guy that said, yeah, Jordan's winning the championships. Yeah, Pippen's winning the championships. But if it wasn't for me, this wouldn't be possible.
I try to brag on the local media. I do. Not only my colleagues here, like RJ Saunders, but, you know, print media. Because they work hard, and for the most part, they're good guys. I very rarely recommend anything that comes from the national media. But the Judy Bautista piece on Urban Meyer at NFL.com is outstanding. I mean, Jaguar fans, you need to read that. It's gonna take you some places that you haven't seen yet. And it's a real good piece there by Judy Bautista. All right, thank you to Omar Ruiz. Let's devote our time now to you. My goodness, is the text line just burning up. Response from Omar Ruiz. Response from Brent Musburger. We do have a question out there for you. What is your biggest concern now with this football team, position group-wise or other, outside of tight end? Tight end's a waste of time. We know that that's the number one issue. So let's get back to that. 641-1010 on the text line. You can also get me on Twitter. That is Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010XL.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, back-to-back interviews, both Brent Musburger and Omar Ruiz. Thank you very much to those two. Thank you to RJ Saunders for setting it up. You ain't mailing it in on no Friday.
Absolutely not.
You can mail it in the rest of the way now. Just play some good music.
Hey.
We got to get to the fans here, man. The Jag fans have been pounding us on the text line.
They want to talk. And we give them that platform to
talk. We do. Listen, we love Brent Musburger. We love Omar Ruiz. But we also, we love you. You know? And I consider myself absolutely a man of the people.
You're the truth teller.
You are. You've come. Your strides have been magnificent as of late.
Well, you told me not to push buttons anymore and tell you when to go to commercial break. Be a producer. So I'm trying to be.
It was positive reinforcement.
It was.
A little stern.
Yeah.
Demand excellency. That was what Judge Mail says.
Right? I'm all for it.
Didn't want to send boys to the death chamber, but felt he owed it to them. You still haven't watched Caddyshack, have you?
Because I can't find it.
You can't find Caddyshack?
Not on Hulu and not on Netflix. So if somebody on the text line can tell me where to find it, I'd watch it.
I'm going to bring you over one night, have a nice big meal. You and I are going to fire up a Cuban and watch Caddyshack.
I'm down. We're going to go to the bar?
Hell yeah, we're going to go to the bar. I'm not going to smoke. You think I'm going to smoke a cigar in my living room? We're going to do it upstairs in the bar.
Well, I thought, your house, your rules, you could do something like that.
Got some nice new Whitey Bulger memorabilia.
Okay.
I'm not lying to you.
I'm here for the Caddyshack,
man.
On
eBay. I've told you, it's no longer a sports bar. It's just more of a regular bar. I'm kind of going some different directions. I've been going music a lot, but I'm kind of like the underground in me. So
now I thought that this bar, you're saying upstairs. Why did I always think it was like downstairs? Like you got converted like a basement or something.
Well, in Chicago, I had a basement.
Okay.
But there's no basements there.
No.
So
yeah,
it's like an attic or an upstairs room. Anyway, it's good stuff. 48-55 Blue. I think the linebackers, not because of talent, but because of switching positions. We see how that affected Miles Jack 2 years ago. Yeah, that's a great point. But, I think Miles Jack 2 years ago really struggled with the green dot. I think he really struggled with taking over the responsibility of listening to Todd Wash with the microphone in his helmet and lining up the other 10 guys. Paul Posluszny did that well. Jack last year didn't have that any longer. It went to Joe Schobert, and Miles Jack seemed to play better football. He seemed to be loose and trusting his instincts. Now, it appears he's going to move again. He's going to go inside, and that'll be three different positions for him. But we shall see. I look at a guy like Joe Schobert, and I wonder, how's he going to be in a 3-4 defense? I'm reading here about Dylan Moses again, the whole Saban comment about Drew Brees, but, kind of lost in the story is that Saban's bragging here about Dylan Moses, a 6'3", 240-pound inside linebacker. He led Alabama in tackles. He had knee surgery February 9th. So is he going to be ready? I don't know at this time. But I think they're better at linebacker. Anyway, that is my opinion. Let's get back to him. Man, we're getting a lot that are rolling in here today. 8230 Blue. Chase on. Okay. That's fair. Here's my response. His best football was late in the year. And that is the exact opposite of what you typically get from a rookie. You always hear how a rookie will hit the rookie wall. Chase on became a better football player later in the year. He got more pressures. He was more active. The numbers don't really show much during his first year. But again, he was doing something different. At LSU, this man played outside in a 3-4. He rushed the passer. He dropped back into coverage. He was a freak athletically against the run. And Josh Allen on the other side 2 years ago, did the same thing at Kentucky. So it's fair, but I'm going to take the glass half full approach here. I think with those two on the outside, and again, we just talked about Jack and Schobert on the inside, plus now it appears to get some pretty good backups. I mean, don't tell Damian Wilson he's not going to play, right? Don't tell the guy played 27 games in the last 2 years with the Kansas City Chiefs and did some really nice things. So I'm sure he absolutely believes that he is going to be a part of this equation. I won't waste time giving you my whole Quincy Wilson deal, but I'm still a believer there. Thanks for the input. All right, let me see. We get so many of these. Musburger's a legend. Musburger's a legend. There's a guy thanking me for playing. You two. 27-24, Blue, you are correct in being able to run the ball. Look at TB12's championships. Look at what Leonard did in the playoffs. I'm older. I remember Zonka kicking Morris. Yada, yada, yada. Defense, kicking game, running the ball is huge to help a great quarterback win it all. That is from the 27-24. I don't think you can find a coach alive, okay, outside of maybe Hal Mummy, who doesn't want to run the ball. Even Spurrier, at times, wanted to run the ball. Most coaches, it's as simple as that. If you can run the ball, that is what they are going to do. Urban Meyer has been incredibly truthful with everything that he has said about this team. And whenever he gets deep into it and takes the deep dive, talking about this football team, he expresses how they want to be able to run the ball. He brought in Carlos Hyde. I was beyond shocked with that. And he drafted Travis Etienne. They are going to run the ball. This is no question about it. They are going to do this. Let's see here. Baloo, 31-41. Josh Allen coming off the injury. I don't fully trust Chaseon yet. All right, I just spoke on Chaseon. You know, what a cruel year for Josh Allen. It was obvious last year in training camp how he really changed his body. He was just in phenomenal shape. But everything went sideways. You know, his mentor, Calais, was moved to Baltimore. It fell apart with Yannick Ngakoue. So, you know, here's a guy as a rookie, and what did he have? 10.5 sacks that you were in pass rush situations. You had the ability to have him on one side and Ngakoue on the other, slide Campbell in during nickel coverage and pass rush situations, and that all went away. And, you know, you got Chaseon as a rookie. You weren't getting pushed in the middle. And teams were doubling up on Josh Allen, and he got hurt. He's a very good football player. Again, I'm gonna go the other way here. I think the 3-4 scheme is really going to help Josh Allen. The 60-17 says, Baloo, the interior defensive line. Okay. I won't be surprised if they add another body here. You know, they lost Ty Alualu, and that's fair. I don't know what to make of Taven Bryan. I mean, I think anything that happens there right now should not be a surprise to Jaguar fans, and that includes if he gets released this weekend, or if you do hear that Joe Cullen believes he can get something out of him in the final year of his contract. I have to believe if he's not productive and if he's not doing things, he is going to be shown the door. I love the Malcolm Brown trade. Again, I've said this before, but Malcolm Brown has learned under some very good defensive coordinators. He learned under Matt Patricia. He learned under Brian Flores, who by definition wasn't the D coordinator, but certainly ran it under Bill Belichick. I believe that he thinks that he's got a big contract coming ahead of him if he can play well. You know, the injury that happened last year with Devon Hamilton was a bad one because I thought he was getting better and he was showing some signs. You know, so, you know, there's a little bit of hope there. Jay Toufele out of USC, very excited to see this guy. You know, consecutive years, he's was the, you know, defense alignment of the year at USC. I know that, you know, there have been a couple of issues with him. As far as, you know, opting out, and the whole Pac-12 was really screwed up last year. And we had the same conversation about Walker Little, who, you know, missed 2019, only played one game, tore his ACL, then opted out. If you have forgotten, it's not like it's the SEC or the ACC where they were transparent and they were letting us know that they're going to play football. And, you know, the SEC pushed it back a few more weeks than the ACC. Remember the Big Ten and the Pac-12, forget about it. We're not playing. Then all of a sudden pressure hit them and they played. But for guys like this, for one reason or another, they just didn't feel as though it made sense to return for an abbreviated season. And I'm going to give Trent Baalke a lot of credit because one of the things that really stuck out for me in the pre-draft press conference that Meyer and Baalke had with the local media, Baalke seemed to be not overly impressed with players who opted out. And I'm paraphrasing here, but it was something on the lines of there were players who opted out who shouldn't have opted out. Then he turns around and takes two players who opted out. So maybe a little bit of gamemanship there, a tiny bit of catfish. Why not? We'll see what happens. Defensive line, I'll put you down for it. I certainly hope it gets better. And, you know, we're going to see who's on the edge. Roy Robertson-Harris, I had him on the show, what? Yeah, two Fridays ago? I think it was two Fridays ago. I tried to give him the obligatory, hey, Roy, I know you played the big DE in the 3-4 in Chicago. You're on the right side. Is that what you're going to do here? You're going to be on the right side? Do you think you can be like Calais Campbell and slide inside and pass? He's like, bro. He's like, I can do it all, and I will do it all. He goes, I'll line up at nose tackle. So Roy Robertson-Harris is like, don't give me any of this technical stuff. Don't tell me what I'm doing in base. Don't tell me what I'm doing in nickel. I'm telling you right now that I'm going to be all over that defensive line. I was like, man, I love this guy. And he's got a great voice. He's intimidating.
Oh, yeah.
You're scaring me, man. I was like, didn't you see how timid I was during that interview? I was like,
I saw you shaking.
I was like, oh, my God, look at this guy.
I'm scared.
It's Roy Robertson-Harris, man. He's 6'7". Love that guy. And I've only talked to him on the phone. Let me find his measurements here before I head this break. 6'5", 292. You know, the Jordan Smith kid, the kid that Florida threw him out of school, he went to a B, he's 6'7".
Some tall guys on the team.
6'7", 255.
Need to be playing basketball.
Jahad Ward, there's another guy who just absolutely killed the press conference. Probably the best press conference we've had since Urban Meyer was announced. And you remember Urban Meyer telling you, because everything he tells us is to get to you, the Jaguar fans, that Joe Cullen, who worked with Jahad Ward in Baltimore, pounded the table and said, we need to sign this guy. Keep an eye on Jahad Ward.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, good stuff coming up tonight, as always, with the Sports Den. They will begin at 8 o'clock. Next week, I'm on 3 to 6. It's alumni week in these parts. I'll be joined by Frangie. For those of you who don't know, we did an afternoon show for more than 7 years back in the day.
Before my time.
Back in the myself, Frangie, and Jessica Blaylock. So that'll be next week. Plenty of guests, alumni stuff all across the board. Mornings. I guess this shift will be what? It'll be helmets and heels.
Helmets and heels all week.
Okay. So that'll be very interesting. A lot of fun. You know, plenty of folks coming back. Bryce Blumleave. I saw her at the draft party. I've heard from Blaylock. I know that Jordan's returning. I know that Amanda Borges is returning. Am I forgetting anyone? Who's I can't think of her name right now. The young girl who's now in Orlando, who did a nice job. I spilled the drink all over in Tampa. We went to a Bruins Tampa Bay Lightning game, and my brother got these really good seats. It was all you could eat, all you could drink, and it was very early in the first period. And I went to go sit down, and I spilt a draft beer all over. I can't even think of her name, and don't turn 50. All right, let me get back to some of these. Do you have the release?
For the alumni week?
Yeah, I don't want to do this and not be able to.
Not on me right now, Rick.
Here we go. Let me find it for you. I should know the name. She's such a great girl, too. I'm really embarrassed that I can't remember.
I mean, you guys have this alumni week. You guys are turning back the clock. I've only been
Mackenzie
here.
Mackenzie Thurkill.
Okay. I've only been here for a year and a half now.
Yeah.
To everybody else, they probably say it feels like a lifetime.
Poor girl, man. I soaked her. It was a full 16-ounce draft, too. I mean, I feel bad. I really do. She was a good sport about it, though. That always says something. 1709, oh my God, am I going to mention it? 1709, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be responsible for jinxing it. We got a smart audience. I think you know which way he's going with it. The backup situation, I'm going to leave it alone. Baloo, why do you feel the offensive line has improved from last year? Same starting five, and Walker hasn't played in 2 years. It's a phenomenal point. Let me tell you why. I have confidence in this offensive line. When Urban Meyer elected to bring back George Warhop, that spoke volumes to me because he's only one of a few coaches that he elected to bring back. And obviously, everything that Urban does involves the quote-unquote deep dive. So George Warhop was able to convince Urban Meyer that with the right scheme, this offensive line is going to be okay. Now, this entire show, going back to the Trevor Lawrence props, where Vegas has them for 42,050 yards, and said play the under. Why did I say play the under? Because I believe this team is going to run the football. And if you have a balanced attack and you can do some things, your offensive line is going to improve. Over the last 32 games, the Jaguars averaged less than 8 points a game in the first 30 minutes of play. Think about that. Just over a touchdown a game. 2 years' worth. That means when the third quarter begins, Jacksonville is always trailing. That means Jacksonville is always a one-dimensional football team in the third and fourth quarter, and they have to pass the football. If you can have a balanced attack and you can run the football, the offensive line is going to be better. Also, final year of a deal for Cam Robinson. Andrew Norwell is a huge possibility of being cut at the end of the 2021 season because the 2022 contract is not a favorable one. The Jaguars can cut Brandon Linder now or in 2022. And have no dead money attached to it. So they could just simply go younger and cheaper at center. Final year of a contract for A.J. Cann at right guard. He's making $6.3 million. They elected to cut him now or in camp. They save $5 million. right tackle was not a good year. It was a year in which Juwan Taylor regressed. So, yes, your point is right. My way of looking at it is each and every one of those offensive linemen is absolutely under the microscope, that if they don't play well, they're out of a job here, and they're going to have to go find a job somewhere else. So they're going to have to play better football. And then with Walker Little coming in, I think he's going to take one of those jobs. I don't think it'll happen, you know, September 12th, week one. They just don't hit enough in the offseason. It's hard to come in and take a tackle job. It's not hard to win a running back job or a wide receiver job or a defensive back job. But when you're not hitting, it's pretty difficult to take over an offensive line job. Now, there will be three preseason games this year. There weren't any a year ago. So that's my reason for confidence. A totally different offense, a balanced attack, guys really on one-year deals, and a young rookie ready to push him. Appreciate all that. A lot of good stuff for you tonight on that question. And thank you. I try to get back to as many of you as I could. Obviously very busy, as I say all the time. Now that I leave the airwaves, I do not respond to the text line. If you want to get a hold of me, the best way to do so is get me on Twitter, Blue1010XL.
Now, the two-minute drill, brought to you by Tire Outlet, keeping 1010XL on track with wholesale prices and premium service. Tire Outlet, Jacksonville's largest locally owned automotive repair shop.
It's a nice cap, man. I like that. Is that like a perk?
Oh, the Nike one? I don't know where I got that, actually.
I didn't know if it was something you do with your camp or something.
Yeah, a camp that I worked or something like that. I've got a whole closet full of hats. Normally, if it's not given to me, it's dome. Dome hats. I'm big dome hats.
I love – dome does a great job.
They're amazing.
I love swag. I love free stuff.
I do, too.
The Godfather, Gil Brandt, used to – he still picks the Playboy All-American college football teams. Remember back in the day, that used to really mean something?
Huge deal. Yeah.
Okay, Bob Hope would bring him out. But, I mean, say what you want about the magazine, but it was actually like their preseason, Playboy's preseason college football, and it was really well done.
Yeah, oh, no, it was a big deal.
There was a stretch of like 4 or 5 years when we were working together at Sporting News Radio that Gil Brandt would ship me all the Playboy swag that he would get.
It's crazy how that game's changed. Like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, something like that, I'd go to a camp and there was a room with about 5 to 10 of these type of tables. And it was Adidas. Hey, go get whatever you want. It was Nike. Go get whatever. And I would leave with thousands of dollars of gear. Now, it's changed, man. Now you may get a couple things. And then, here recently we've gotten a couple things like mail to us just out of the blue. But it's like people are stingy now.
Yeah. And, you know, that was evident in things like Radio Row at the Super Bowl and ACC and SEC meetings. I mean, abundance of media guides, and you know there'd always be someone there plugging their company, whatever, with all sorts of giveaways and stuff. I don't know. I think it really changed, like, you know, kind of during that recession of like 2008, 2009, somewhere around that time period.
For our industry, it changed when the tariffs hit China.
Okay, yeah,
that seemed to make a pretty big difference in the free swag, right? There.
China.
Yeah, that definitely changed things. What did you say the over-under was for passing yards for Trev?
4,250.
Was that 250 a game?
Exactly 250 a game.
Interesting. I bet you they're pretty dang close.
What are you going to do?
I'm probably going to go under.
I'm going to go under. And again, it's not a slight on him. No. It's because I think they want to run the ball.
I completely agree with you. I think that's very evident with how they play the tight end position. The minimal.
I'll give you the four, and I'll let you pick, and I'll tell you what I did. And Brent Musburger came on, and he took the under as well.
Throwing out big names, name dropping on me.
27 touchdown passes.
Over.
I took the over as well. It's an average of 1.58 a game. Yeah. So far we're 2 for 2. 12.5 interceptions.
Under.
I took over.
Did you?
And my reason is not to rip him, but this offense has been so ridiculously predictable and dormant. I think he's going to take some chances with this offense, and I think as a rookie, he's going to make some mistakes. I hope I'm wrong, but I chose the over. You'll go under.
Yeah, I'm going to go single-digit interceptions.
He didn't turn the ball over in high school. He didn't turn the ball over in college.
Yep.
Final one, 4 rushing touchdowns.
Over.
You gonna go over?
I'm gonna go over.
See, I'm a little timid.
Did you go under?
Yeah, I went under just because I don't want him to run the ball.
I don't either. But
I don't
like,
want
that's
him
one
running
of those
it.
Things where, you know, scramble, get out of the pocket. You know, with him and his athleticism, and with ETN and all that, I can completely see most red zone or inside the five plays being rollouts.
Yeah. See,
half rolls, whatever, and he tucks it and goes. It's one of my concerns about him is he's kind of fearless. And if you watch him at the college level, he took a lot of hits he didn't need to take. I hope he don't plan on doing that on Sundays.
Let's hope not.
It ain't going to last long on Sundays.
And that's my reason for this is
– to protect himself.
I don't want design runs around the goal line. I'm hoping that this offensive line is lathered up. And, you know, I'm hoping James Robinson is a guy at goal line that can take it and score 6 points. I want Lawrence to be able to pick up first downs where time is up. You got to escape the pocket. That's the only time I want him running.
I think he is a phenomenal quarterback draw quarterback. Like, there's guys that are just like he's sneaky fast. Everybody knows he's fast, but he's a strider. But the bigger thing, he's got such a big arm that I mean, you're gonna have to get deep into your drops. You're not gonna spy him. That's not gonna happen. He's not that mobile. So I mean I can definitely see an empty set quarterback draw based on the defensive formation, how they play it. So I'll go over. I'll go with like 6 or 7 rushing touchdowns.
All right. We'll keep our eye on that. We'll see if that changes.
The big one is I want to see like when the schedule comes out. I don't know why we wait till the schedule comes out. I guess it's just fun because we already know the opponents. Like, what did Vegas say? 4.5? Is that what they said?
No, they're up to 6.
They're up to 6.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I think they're dead on it right there.
Yeah, I'm not going to upset fans Jag fans before I get out of here. But no, seriously, the last time I did it, you and I did the schedules. I think I had them at 5, and this is before a 17th game was announced. I had them at 5-11.
It's a tough schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So we looked at it the other night. For a last place schedule, it's a really tough schedule.
Right now, my guess would be around 6 wins. But, you know, that's subject to change when we go through it once again. You know, I think next year, I think by 2022, this is a bona fide playoff team if everything gels. But, I mean, they were outscored by 12 points a game last year, Denny.
Yeah.
I mean, they gave up a record-setting 30.8 a game, and they scored just over 19 a game off. You've got to find a way, with all the changes that they have made, to improve nearly 12 points a game. Think about that margin.
I feel like that's the thing we've all forgotten about. Nobody talks about is how bad the defense was.
Yeah.
Because we've been so Trevor and now ETN mm-hmm. and Urban, and we forget that even the first couple weeks when we thought, oh, they may have something here, they had to score every time they had the ball.
Yep.
Right? I mean, it affected the way you call plays. It affected the way you played offense. So, yeah, it's gonna be fun. We're getting closer and closer, though, Rick.
We sure are. What do you got coming up?
We're actually going to talk a little college football.
Uh-oh.
We haven't talked much college football.
The nonsense out of Georgia?
Well, I didn't see it. What am I missing there?
Just the whole likeness.
Oh, no, nah, we'll probably get into that.
The politics.
I was going to get specifically
I've been so busy this week, I've been able to avoid it. I know it'll come up at some point over the summer. But.
So I am going to get into Nick Saban a little bit.
Yeah, I did earlier, too. Yeah, you should.
Yeah, I want to get into Nick Saban in Alabama. And then I think we're starting to see, and where I really want to go with this is I think we're starting to see that next cycle of teams come through.
In college.
Alabama's going to be a constant. But there's a chance, and I'll explain pretty quickly what I mean with that.
Well, I'm going to listen because I'm convinced right now I can pick the 5 teams, and one of those is going to win a national title.
Oh, you're not wrong. I'm saying like that next, you know, 5 through 15,
mm-hmm.
something along those lines. As college football, so cyclical.
Yeah.
I think we're starting to see a cycle change here.
All right. It's coming up right now. Denny Thompson, along with James Coleman and JJ. It is the Sports Den. That's it. We're out of here. Again, next week, I'll be 3 to 6 all week. I'm in with Frangie. It's alumni week. So you're going to hear different shows and old teammates of ours all week long here on 1010XL in 92.5 FM. Producer is RJ Saunders. RJ, have a great weekend.
You too. Happy Mother's Day to everyone.
Yes, happy Mother's Day to my mom listening on the computer in Tampa or on the app. along with my dad and all mothers out there. Thank you to Omar Ruiz from the NFL Network and Brent Musburger, the play-by-play voice of the Las Vegas Raiders. My name is Rick Ballew. Again, I'll be with you at 3 o'clock all next week, 3 to 6, and I will talk with you then. Have a great weekend.